heart of Tribeca. This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Good morning to you, everyone. We thank you for listening. As we begin our 8 o'clock hour, Michael, really, you want the good news or the bad news first?
I want the bad news.
Bad news first. Yes. Hour delay, upper level. Oh, what else is new? GW Bridge. So that means it's a Tuesday.
Okay.
Dow futures are down 348 points.
I guess that's because of the tariffs.
I gave you two. Do you want the good news?
Well, yeah.
Should be 89 and nice this afternoon. So good weather day. There's your good news.
Right, you're stuck in the car and you're losing your money, but the sun's out.
Well, our big three this morning, the crisis continues at the border. So does the outcry. So does the finger pointing. In a few moments, we'll be joined by New Jersey Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell. And he was involved with those Congress people who showed up at the detention center in Elizabeth, New Jersey, unannounced on Sunday, Father's Day, and forced their way in. We'll hear what he has to say on the issue. Also in the big three, New York and marijuana. We've got the mayor supposed to make changes in law enforcement here in the city. No longer a summons, or you just get a summons.
Yeah.
No longer.
You're not going to get a warrant.
You won't get arrested. All right.
No.
And also, there's a move now to legalize in New York State, so that's a sea change.
Big, big one for Governor Cuomo, because he has called marijuana a gateway drug. But my suspicion is that old lefty Cynthia Nixon, running against him, she's been long in favor of marijuana. I'm sure she's a pothead. But she's pushing Cuomo to the left to keep that lefty, higher-than-kite, marijuana-smoking base of his in line.
Meanwhile, we took phone calls in the last hour. It was unanimous. Every single caller, even one from Oklahoma, said, no! No, don't do it. Don't, you know. One guy called
us. Well, Len and I, we're not really in favor of it, but Joe Bartlett, who I had no idea was a pothead, you're really in favor.
I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, but, you know, it's going to be no more abusive than alcohol.
How about that guy who called us and said it was a gateway drug for him, and he claims it led to heroin?
6 years in prison. He went to prison.
6 years in prison for armed robbery.
I don't know if he can blame it on marijuana.
That's where it started,
Joe,
he
went through it. He said the high wasn't enough, and I wanted more, and I wanted to experiment more with drugs, and it led me to heroin, and it led me to jail in the end.
Yeah, but I think individuals like that are going to end up there anyway.
I don't know about that.
I don't think he can, because of marijuana, the guy ends up in jail.
And rounding out the big three, how about those Mets? A huge, I say huge, 12-2 win in Colorado. Where all those runs come from? Finally, Jacob DeGrom had some support. I'll bet you the 12 runs is more than his last 6 or 7
I'm
starts
happy
combined.
For DeGrom. He
good
deserves a
yes,
good
absolutely.
Win like that.
Great pitcher.
Mets have now won 3 in a row, and we do have your Turning Point Mets tickets. If you know the Turning Point, if you're the first caller at 8:30, when we ask you to call, if you know what that turning point was, you'll win a pair of tickets. Also, by the way, if we had a big four today, I'm fascinated by this other story that since we've got everything solved here on Earth, the president wants a 6th branch of the military out in space. He wants a space force.
Yes.
He's looking to the future,
absolutely.
Len. That's what a president should do.
China and Russia are up there. We've got spy satellites. We're going to have lasers that'll shoot down on us. We can't let China and Russia get up there before we do.
Just explain to me how this is going to work. Are we going to have a giant space base of all the soldiers running around in
their lightsabers.
Their uniform and lightsabers. Okay, well, now I know. That makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
It's going to be fun.
Here, I'm in. Absolutely. That's space war going on.
Yeah, that's. I think that's Darth Vader fighting.
I think it's Kenobi. Territory that needs to be defended.
But how do you do that? And how? So let's say
we have a space station up there. We have a space shuttle. We got plenty of stuff that can go up there.
So we'll have a space station up there. Let's say for argument's sake, the Russians have a space station up there.
Right.
The Chinese have a space station. Are they going to have weapons pointed at each other? Are they going to have the weapons pointed down on Earth?
We've got weapons pointed at each other here on Earth. Why should we have them pointed at each other up in space?
Okay,
what do you want? You want to let the Russians and the Chinese go up there with a whole bunch of space stations and ring the Earth and then train their fire on the United States and blow up New York? Yeah, that might be a little extreme.
What do you think he's going to create? Like the Death Star
Wars? I hope so.
I just think if you're going to spend some money to do this, maybe start with the infrastructure. Maybe get a comprehensive immigration.
Well, a space station.
Maybe we can get some other things solved that are more meaningful and more significant to the people here on Terra Firma. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
speechless there?
No, I was going to say a space station is kind of infrastructure. Infrastructure of space. Somebody's got to build it, pay for it.
Speaking of sound effects.
Oh, no. That's not fair to use those little kids, Len.
You're using them as pawns in this debate.
Oh, I'm using them as pawns.
You are, yes.
The president's not using them as pawns to get his wall built. I'm using them as pawns.
The illegal immigrants who are coming to this country are using them as pawns so they can stay here.
It's a consequence of coming in illegally.
Well, you know what the president said.
The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be.
No migrants camps? Who's going to pick the grapes in the harvest season? If there are no migrant camps.
And you're worried about your housekeeper.
I know.
People are saying this whole thing's going to upset the apple cart, speaking of grapes, that all these people are coming in and take these low-level jobs, and now, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I don't think Americans want some of these really low-level
I don't think they
jobs.
Do either.
Illegal immigrants have been doing that for a long, long time. In fact, where I grew up in upstate New York, I remember there'd be caravans of the migrant workers who would come in to pick the crops in the spring and in the fall.
So yesterday at the White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders trotted out Kirstjen Nielsen, who is head of Homeland Security, and she pretty much doubled down on the whole thing.
Rather than fixing the law, Congress is axing those of us who enforce the law to turn our backs on the law and not enforce the law.
Well, let's speak with someone from Congress. It's a pleasure to welcome to the program for the first time Democratic Congressman from New Jersey, Bill Pascrell Jr. He was one of those who showed up at the Elizabeth Detention Center Sunday. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Len. How are you this morning?
Doing fine, and I just want your reaction because you are a Democrat in Congress, and the President of the United States and all of his supporters say it's the Democrats who have to fix this. What say you?
I think the Homeland Security Secretary is totally out to lunch. For her to even imply that we do not, first of all, care about the law, that we're turning our backs on the law, when she's trying to defend a policy that's not defensible, really, really is the height of chutzpah. But, you know, she'll dog it along in her job, as has happened in the past, and she's turned out to be another lapdog. The session says one thing, the Secretary of Homeland Security says a totally different thing. So they have to get their act together, because obviously they don't now.
Congressman, is there any scenario that Democrats would meet with the president and try to hammer out a sensible immigration policy? Or as long as he demands a wall, you are not going to sit down with him?
Well, the wall is out of our book right now, number one. We want defense at the border. There's no question about it. By the way, guys, we have four borders, and we were attacked from the north, not the south. I've never met a Mexican terrorist in my life, nor have read about any Mexican terrorists or Honduras terrorists. We don't want those people in our country. We understand that. Everybody understands that. But when you take children and use them as pawns, there is no excuse whatsoever. And until the president changes his mind about this particular policy, what is there to discuss? We've been through this. For 10 years, we've had immigration bills of various sorts in front of the Congress. For 10 years, we've never come to an agreement except when the Senate voted overwhelmingly 8 years ago for a immigration bill, which most of them turned their backs on afterwards. So we've been through this and done it. So they're going to have to come up something much more substantial than these two lollipops that they've offered up.
But Congressman, you said a fence is fine, but what's the problem then with a wall?
Because we don't need a wall. We don't need walls. What we need is in certain areas, we need fencing. We need part of a wall, perhaps, which we've done already. But to make this the end all, to say that we're going to solve all our problems. People dig under walls, they go over walls. Who the heck are we kidding? It's simply a political symbol. That's what it is. That's all it has become. And it should not be the essence. It should not be the center of any immigration policy. Because we're talking about people that come here from all over the world. not just from the South.
Hey, Congressman, we've got about a minute left. Congressman, we're on with Bill Pascrell, a Democrat from New Jersey. Before we run, is there a quick fix to this issue of families and kids being separated? You were at the detention center. You saw some of this up close. Is there a quick fix we could have?
Well, I don't know whether it's quick or not, but the president has the power to say this must cease and desist, and we have to back away from this policy. I've seen the parents. I've seen these fathers on Father's Day were going through and trying to explain to me in the best that they could what they were feeling inside about how they hadn't seen their children in so long. I mean, when you experience one thing, you read about it, it's a totally different thing. And this is not what we are. This is not what we stand for. But to place one party as being all concerned about law and order and the other party doesn't give a damn, I'm not for open borders. We have rules. The government has a right to know who's coming into this country and who's leaving this country. And when you try to paint us with a broad brush, it's like painting Republicans with a broad brush. It shouldn't be, and that's not the American way. And this policy is not in the America that I want.
Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman Bill Pascrell from New Jersey, appreciate your insight, your thoughts. I'm glad you joined us on the program this morning, Congressman.
Hey, have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Congressman.
When we come back, we're going to have an update on that doctor with the worst bedside manner. This is not a good result for her. Wait to hear this audio. And Mark Simone's coming up at 10 o'clock. But right now, Bernie Vider has traffic.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. 825. Well, Len, you had an ally. You just had an ally here on the show.
I don't know about an ally.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from New Jersey, who's with you on this whole immigration.
Well, not if he's with me. I do happen to not think the wall's the answer, and clearly he didn't. But here's the thing. You know, we have Congressman Peter King on all the time, obviously Republican from Long Island.
Yep. Friend of yours.
I do consider him a friend. And Joe had the idea yesterday because we were talking about Bill Pascrell and the other Democrats who showed up at that detention center in Elizabeth on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Joe turned to me off air the other day and said, well, why don't you invite Pascrell on? You know, you always have Peter King. I said, it's a great idea. I mean, it's just so unusual on our air to hear from a Democrat. And I think we should from time to time, you know, my little policy about trying to.
Let's not get carried away.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't want Chuck Schumer on tomorrow.
Well, I don't think he's coming on.
I don't want Hillary Clinton on Friday.
Well, I probably don't either, but I'm just saying it's like under the policy of listening with both ears. And I knew that would probably sound a little foreign to some of our listeners. In fact, within seconds, I got an email from Rob saying that Bill Pascrell saying we need a fence but not a wall is quite possibly the dumbest thing a politician has ever said. So,
well, I had a follow-up there, and he said, well, we have a fence but no wall. I said, well, if we have a fence, why not a wall? He said, well, maybe a little bit of a wall. Maybe a brick, okay? Give us a brick, and then we'll negotiate and compromise.
Right or wrong, I just think to have a wall the entire length, to spend those billions of dollars, I think it is. I agree with Pascal. I think it's more symbolic than
that. Yes, a new viewpoint was heard from. Tomorrow we'll have Nancy Pelosi. There you go.
Oh, that's not happening. It's not happening either. But we do have your Mets tickets coming up in a few minutes, the Turning Point
contest. Point's coming up. Absolutely. Now, yesterday we were talking about this this Dr. Beth Keegstra. Does she have some bedside manner.
You said it was much better than Marcus Welby.
Much better than Marcus Welby, one of my favorite television doctors of all time. And one of Natalie's favorite shows,
Marcus Welby,
MD. Right?
Natalie had no idea what you were talking about.
Maybe in a former life I watched the show.
By the way, you know who played Marcus Welby, Natalie?
Marcus Welby.
No, Welch.
I have no idea. His name was Robert Young.
Robert Young, that's right. Robert Young.
I wasn't even born when the show started.
What was his famous show in the 50s? Fathers Knows Best.
Robert Young.
Another one that I watch all the time.
Robert Young, he's a big star. I think he died in about 1982.
He was a big star. But listen to this. This guy comes in with anxiety. This is in California. Yeah. Listen to this doctor.
I'm sorry, sir. You were the least sick of all the people who are here who are dying.
Of all the people who are here die, you're the least sick of all.
That's a good place to be, actually, but okay.
Well,
that's a positive.
The kid was Samuel Bardwell, 20 years old.
He's alive.
Yes, and he claims that he was having an anxiety attack, and this Dr. Keegstra, Dr. Mengele, she was having none of it with this poor kid.
Listen to this.
You picked your head up. Now, don't try to tell me you can't move. Sit up. Sit up. Sit up. Sit up. I'm having you sit up.
I can't get up.
Because he needs to sit up and he won't
She's
let me.
She's literally yanking my arm.
You want us to wheel you to your house in the gurney?
That's not what I said.
Well, as Natalie said, Marcus Welby, she's not.
She's a nurse at Bergen Belsen. That's what she said.
Hey, Natalie,
how about Dr. Kildare? Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just tried to inhale, and I even told her I could not inhale.
He can't inhale. Wow. He must be dead. Are you dead, sir?
That's one of the best comments.
She's a sadist, this woman.
Did you ever wanted to say that to a listener on the phone one time? Are you dead, sir?
Oh, but you can inhale? I don't think you're dead if you can inhale. Anyway, Dr. Beth Keekstra, she has now been suspended from Al Camino Hospital for lack of her bedside manner.
I'm going to listen to this one. Just listen to the very end. It's only 8 seconds long.
I just tried to inhale, and I even told her I could not inhale.
He can't inhale. Wow. He must be dead. Are you dead, sir?
Do no harm, but mock the patients. Okay.
If you want to see this entire video, I think it's well worth watching, and she has been suspended, go to our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
And now it's time for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point from the game last night, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Rays on July 6th at Citi Field. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. The Turning Point is presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Joe/Bartlett with the 8:30 news. Good morning, Joe.
Thank/you, Michael. Major change coming to the NYPD marijuana policy. The Daily News says Mayor de Blasio will announce today that most people caught smoking marijuana will not be arrested. You'll get a summons.
The goals are to reduce unnecessary arrest, which is something we've been doing overall. 100,000 fewer arrests overall in 2017 than 2013. Crime going down consistently in that time frame. We want to build on that.
The mayor was on New York One saying that the new policy will take effect this summer. This is the New York State Health Commissioner recommends legalizing pot statewide. Taxi Workers Alliance calling for Uber to be regulated. The union president, Bharavi Desai, says four hire companies are taking a financial toll on cabbies.
When the Uber CEO came into town, all I kept envisioning was him stepping over those coffins to get to his meetings with the speaker and the mayor and God knows who else.
You know, six cabbies have committed suicide.
There's no regulation of Ubers in the city?
Well, there is some regulation, yes. I think what the Taxi Workers Alliance wants is a limit on the number of Ubers because it seems like they're just all over the place. I mean, if you look at the license plates and you'll see TLC, that's an Uber guy. You can always tell they're black Camrys anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. They often have a U on them.
Well, that too.
That's a dead giveaway.
I feel sorry for people who went out and bought a black Camry because everywhere they go, somebody thinks they're an Uber driver. President Trump says it's sad that migrant children are being separated from their parents at the border and something should be done about it. But as he made that statement yesterday, he blamed Democrats for the problem, said they could solve it quickly and easily with congressional action. The Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz scheduled to testify before the House Judiciary Committee today, spent hours before the Senate panel yesterday fielding questions about his report on the investigation of Hillary Clinton's use of private email when she was Secretary of State.
Mm.
Yeah, big deal. Nothing out there.
Nothing to see here.
She got away with it.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
It was terrible, but we're going to let it go. NYC, our news brought to you by NYC Pain MD, treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE. That's 1-855-653-5633. And a sports story for you, Len.
For me, not for the audience.
What about me?
Not for you. You have no idea what I'm going to be talking about.
He said before he hit an inside the park home run. What's that? It's opposite of an outside the park
home. You don't know unless you ask.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? All right. Anyway, this is pretty bizarre. The Nationals rookie Juan Soto hit a home run in the game against the Yankees last night.
That's correct.
Okay. A two-run homer to finish up the game. This was a game that was suspended back on May 15th.
Okay.
The problem is this guy didn't make his major league debut until May 20th. So he didn't begin his career in the major leagues until May 20th.
But he'll go in the record books as having won the game on May 15th.
May 15th.
Oh, right.
And I think it was his fifth or sixth homer, but that'll go down in the record books as his first home run.
That'll go on the record as his first home run.
Right. Because it was a suspended game. They didn't finish the game. It was suspended and then completed last night in Washington is what happened.
Believe it or not, there's a couple of other guys that are in the similar situation. Dave Parker in 1973 and Barry Bonds in 1986 did the same sort of thing.
Mm, fascinating.
That's crazy.
And no, it's not fascinating.
How about this one? Wasn't it Joel Youngblood of the Mets? Didn't he get a hit for two different teams in two different cities the same day he got traded?
Maybe.
I think
Michael's
did.
Saying, yeah. Michael's saying, oh, yeah, I think he did. You never heard of Joel Youngblood.
Okay, moving right along. Hey, do we need that Space Force out there? Is it a good idea? We're going to talk to someone who has actually been in outer space. Former NASA Anderson, Clayton Anderson, will join us when we get back. Hey, it's the summer blowout sale, and this is a blowout sale from Chamonix. Right now, when you order Genucel, you will get the new Genucel Eyelid Lift for droopy, saggy eyelids absolutely free. And for the first time ever, you'll also get the world-famous Cristal's Microdermabrasion, and that's also free. The best sale of the year just got better. Here's my friend Claire from Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been using Genucel for 3 days. My husband already knows the texture of my skin. It's looking so good. It feels nice and smooth with lots of moisture. The bags under my eyes are minimal now. So far, so good. Well, Claire, I use Genucel too, and the bags under my eyes are minimal. They're so minimal, you have to have a magnifying glass to see them. Experience the power of looking and feeling your best every morning. Call 1-800-577-8627 or visit Genucel.com. That's 1-800-577-8627 or go to Genucel.com and help Chamonix's commitment to battered women's shelters across America. Call 1-800-577-8627 or visit Genucel.com. Order today and say goodbye to bags and puffiness tomorrow. And now let's go to Bernie Bider and get the track.
Morning, 710 WOR.
And at 8:41, Michael, I just wanted you to hear this sports fact because yes. Hugh Jackman said I should give you one new sport. The famous Hugh Jackman.
That's it.
Actually said on this broadcast, I should give you one sports fact today. So here you go. I mentioned Joel Youngblood, who used to play for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
In 1982, the Mets were playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. He got a base hit in the game. After the game, he got traded to Montreal. Montreal played that night in Philadelphia. He went and joined the Phillies in Philadelphia and pinch hit and got a hit in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So to this day, he's the only major leaguer to get hits for two different teams.
In one day?
Two different cities, same day.
Same day.
There you go.
Well, okay, that's a fact that I will soon forget.
And we've got
we
a winner.
A winner, yes. Congratulations to Camille Lodice in Garden City. She was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point of last night's game was this.
The 2-2 coming, swing high drive, right center field, taking off at the track, at the wall. This one is going to go all on its own. Outside the Parker to go with the inside the Parker.
There you go. Brandon Nimmo's second home run. He had an inside the park homer, outside the park home run. Mets won 12-2.
Your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets post-game show on WOR for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game.
Very excited to be joined by Clayton Anderson, former NASA astronaut, now retired, living in Texas. He spent 167 days in space.
Oh, my God.
So if there's somebody who can tell us if this is a good idea to have a space force, as President Trump said yesterday, a sixth branch of the armed forces, a space force. Well, if someone can tell us if that's good or not, it's Clayton Anderson. Good morning, Clayton. How are you?
Roger.
Oh, Clayton comes with shtick. I like this a lot.
He's in his second home up there on Mars.
That's very good. I love it.
Hi, Clayton.
I never talked to an astronaut before. Hey, Clayton, so what do you think? A good idea to have a space force?
It's hard for me to say. I do like the idea that the administration wants to keep the United States as the preeminent spacefaring nation. That's good. Whether a space force is the right way to do it or not, I'm not convinced yet. I'm going to have to wait, and, like everybody, and see a lot of the details. Most people don't realize that in my early days with NASA on the shuttle program, we actually had a military kind of side, the DOD, that was run by the Air Force. And so they launched a lot of military satellites using the space shuttle program to get those things to orbit. So it's not totally unprecedented as an idea, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Clayton, when we hear Space Force and the way Trump was talking about it, Len and I were thinking, is this like building a Death Star up there? And are people going to have lightsaber battles and laser battles? Is this a militarizing space, and how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I do know that there are things that they talked about that we need to take care of or work on, which is like getting rid of debris in space, getting a human colony on the surface of the moon so that we can figure out exactly how we can get a colony to Mars. The other issue that I don't understand a lot about is, you know, it's all about territory in the world, right? It's all about countries that want more and want to protect what they have, and so that creates a lot of conflict on the globe. I think if we took the attitude in space that we worked with these countries like Russia or maybe China and some of these, we won't fight them in space, which means we probably won't fight them on the ground either. So if this space force could work in that way, I think it'd be a good thing.
Well, that's a good point, Clayton, because for a long time, the Soviet Union and America collaborated on a space station out there, and that was one of the things that led to detente, I would argue.
Exactly. I would argue the same thing. I think that is something that we need to begin to look at hard, right? Even though China's communist, I think we can still work with them in the world of space. And I think just as we work with Russia now, I think that would be a big benefit to both countries.
We're on with Clayton Anderson, a former NASA astronaut. He's now retired, living in Texas. And let me ask you the world's dumbest question, because I've never spoken to an astronaut before. What was it like that first time when you're sitting there strapped in and you blast off and you head to space? I know you've been asked this a zillion times, but what was that moment like?
Well, I had to pee. And, you know, I spent the 20 minutes prior to liftoff trying to pee in my diaper while I was laying on my back in the launch position on the space shuttle Atlantis. And just about the time I was going to be successful, the commander calls down. He says, "Clay, how you doing down there?" And, of course, that broke my concentration, and I had to set it all up again mentally. But when we actually launched, I wasn't thinking about peeing at all. It was the most amazing roller coaster ride that a human being could ever be on. It was just an incredible show of force, of power, of noise, of motion. It was pretty cool.
Hey, why do you think we need to have a base eventually for human beings on Mars?
I'm not sure about Mars yet. I think that's the glory destination, right? If you're going to take your kids on a trip to Disney World and that's the glory destination, you're not going to stop in Ashland, Nebraska to work for a few months to figure out what you're going to do at Disney. But I think in terms of going to Mars and being successful on Mars with humans, I think we need to go back to the moon and start to figure things out. If Mars is the destination, just because that's the closest planet that we know very much about, and it seems like we can build a habitat there for humans, I think that's a great thing to seek, right, to go for. But we have to do it smartly in steps and in smaller increments.
Clayton Anderson, NASA astronaut, former, now retired. Great guest. I hope you come back sometime. Hey, before you leave, can you do that little Roger, Wilco, or whatever that thing is you did at the beginning, right? That was great.
No, copy all. Thanks for the time, man. Over.
Clayton, you're a good guy. Come back and visit sometime, would you?
I will. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Clayton.
I wonder if he ever saw a UFO when he was out there. We'll have him back again.
We're going to talk UFOs. All right. Okay. Coming up next, cabbies rallying at City Hall, claiming Uber's killing them, literally. And do we need more speed cameras? That's the question.
Hey, the iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to the lineup of performers. Justin Timberlake, Fleetwood Mac, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Imagine Dragons, oh, I love them, Leonard Skinner, Kelly Clarkson, and Sam Smith. Now's your last chance, your very last chance to buy tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. Get them now before they sell out. All the info is at 710WOR.com or iHeartRadio.com.
And Imagine Dragons' number one hit that you liked was right.
Fly me to the moon.
There you go. Birdie Vider in traffic.
Good morning, everybody, at 8:55. Len, this is really a heartbreaking story about taxi cab drivers who, there's been a rash of taxi cab drivers who have taken their own lives. Six drivers, in fact, have killed themselves, blaming the financial pressures caused by the huge growth of the ride-sharing services. Their medallions that once cost you something like $1 million are now only worth $200,000 because of the competition from Uber and from Lyft. And the New York Taxi Workers Alliance is calling on the city for help and to help prevent the suicide of other drivers who are seeing their incomes just dry up.
Well, last week, a cabbie by the name of Abdul Salah, 59 years old, was found dead in his Brooklyn apartment. Suspected suicide. Friends called him a hard worker who'd been driving for 30 years, but now struggling financially.
Yep. And last month, another cab driver, Yeo Min Kenny Chow, his body was found in the East River. His relative said he owed $700,000 on his medallion. It's really terrible.
So now the New York Taxi Workers Alliance is calling for the city to help. You know, I'm not sure exactly.
What exactly can the city do? I mean, restrict the number of Uber drivers, restrict the number of Lyft cars. I don't know. You know, people are just used to hitting the app and getting their Uber and not flagging a taxi cab anymore. And I don't think you can put the genie back into that bottle. I don't see how that happens.
I don't know. Well, I guess they want to figure out a way to somehow make the medallions worth more. I mean, since they had medallions for city taxis, they don't have them for Uber. So I guess they want them to regulate Uber a little bit more. This is the head of the alliance.
The goals are to reduce.
Well, that was the mayor.
That was the mayor.
Yeah.
How is it possible that you have professional workers that have been driven to suicide because the poverty is so crushing?
Mm. Wow. The Taxi and Limousine Commission says it is heartbreaking to hear that we've lost another of our licensees to suicide. Well, we may never know why Mr. Salah made such a tragic decision. It is clear that many of his brother and sister drivers are in pain and distress.
So this is a New York Taxi Workers Alliance Executive Director Bharavi Desai.
When the Uber CEO came into town, all I kept envisioning was him stepping over those coffins to get to his meetings with the speaker and the mayor and God knows who else.
Well, that's
tough
a little issue. Extreme, though.
That's
I would
a tough
say.
Issue.
A little extreme.
Imagine
why. I don't know. I think people want the Uber economy. People like their Ubers. I think I use taxis mainly. I don't know why you need an Uber in the city. There are taxis all over the place. I always take a taxi to work, but I don't know if the regulation is going to be the answer, Lynn.
All we need is basic regulation that not only protects the livery, the black car, the yellow cab and green cab driver, but also the Uber and the Lyft drivers.
Now, this is Congressman Adriano Espaillat.
This is a major crisis where six men have taken their lives. Everybody walks around like they never existed. They have a first and a last name and families and children.
This is tough, Michael. It's tough to listen to.
It is. It's sad. And I guess you can see your livelihood dry up. But, you know, the free market system is the free market system, Len. Uber has been incredibly successful. People find it convenient and easy and inexpensive, in many cases, to use. So I don't think Uber is going away.
Another transportation issue is the police commissioner, James O'Neill, joined local politicians and school officials yesterday. They want Albany to add hundreds of additional surveillance cameras on streets in school zones.
Speed cameras will never replace our hardworking men and women in NYPD uniforms. What they do, though, is support the important work our cops do every day.
They're looking to help the cops. Now, interesting statement released yesterday by Patrick Lynch, the PBA president. Now, listen to this. He said, New York City police officers want to make our streets safe for everybody who uses them, but automated traffic and enforcement cameras are not the solution. He says red light and speed cameras cannot do the job of a live, professionally trained police officer. They can't take a drunk, unlicensed, or uninsured driver off the road. They won't catch evidence of other crimes that might be apparent to a police officer conducting a traffic stop, but they are very good at one thing, stuffing the city's coffers with additional revenue from fines. If the politicians promoting this money grab were truly interested in street safety, they would put the proper resources behind the NYPD's traffic enforcement efforts.
He does have a point there. There's this big push to have cameras all over the place. We are the surveillance society. And I don't think most people committing crimes are really worried too much about surveillance cameras. They just commit the crime and then they get caught later on the surveillance camera. So I think there is no substitute for a cop on the beat.
Well, I happen to lean towards that. I do think it's a money grab with a lot of these cameras. I really do.
All right, don't go away. Kick back. Light up. Get high. The state could soon make marijuana legal. We will check in with WOR's pothead Alice Stockton Rossini to get reaction when we come back. But first, let's get the 9 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
Ben Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
And a very good morning to you on Tuesday, the big three. Wow, Trump is not pulling back from his immigration policy of taking the kids away from their parents who have come here illegally and separating them, putting them in another, I don't know, camp, I would call it. A nice camp, though. You know, they've got...
nice summer
camp.
Well,
they played soccer. I saw some shots of the kids playing soccer. All you want to do is play the kids weeping and wailing and crying. No. But there are shots on Fox of the kids playing soccer, and yeah. I saw some pictures of the meals they get in the camps. It looks pretty good, appetizing.
Laura Ingram said it's like summer camp. But you know what? Kids cry at summer camp. They do. Of
course, this was...
You are a hard-hearted individual.
This was an audio that was put out by ProPublica.
Come on.
ProPublica is a left-wing media organization that's anti-Republican and anti-Trump and loves immigrants. So, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt, perhaps. There's
kids are crying mama, poppy, and you're hard-hearted and don't care.
Give them some more Fisher-Price toys. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Whose fault is it? As Joe Bartlett is fond of saying, it's the fault of the parents who are using those children as pawns to try to stay here in America illegally.
I don't care.
Len, they would not be separated if their parents didn't break the law.
I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care if it's the Democrats, the Republicans, or a dog named Boo. The president has the right and the authority to just snap his finger and stop it. And he's not doing it.
Well,
I think that's a mistake.
Listen, I'm uncomfortable with the idea of the kids being dragged away from their parents, but you can put them in the same detention camp together with their parents, and then you can send them back.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
but you
fine.
Have to have some sort of deterrence because we have a lot of people who are rushing the border right now, Len, and the Democrats have to get together with the Republicans to fix it.
They do have to fix it. They do, but I don't think it's going to happen because president wants his precious wall, and I don't think he's going to get it.
Also in the big three, we're going to check in with Alice Stockton Rossini in just a minute. Marijuana could be legal soon here in the state. Governor Cuomo, who once called it a gateway drug and was against legalizing it, he seems to be drifting in the direction, as New Jersey has, of legalizing it. Cynthia Nixon, she's far on the left, and she's in favor of it. And our mayor, de Blasio, says no warrants, no arrests if you get caught. Smoking, if you're lit up, just a summons. Although there are a few problems there if you have a warrant out for your arrest.
There are some problems.
You're not going to get off with a hand slap.
The state is now recommending legalizing marijuana. So.
And rounding out the big three, the Mets are on a roll. 3 wins in the last 3 games. We haven't heard that in a long time. Howie Rose is putting a lot in the books.
Yes.
Good for the Mets out there.
Good for the Mets. And speaking of sports, the first World Cup game of the day is underway between Colombia and Japan.
I pick Colombia.
You pick Colombia. I think, Natalie, did you pick Colombia also?
I believe so, but maybe I'll go with Japan.
Well, why?
Why are you waffling all of a sudden?
Well, you can waffle if you want because they're in the second half and it's now 1-1. So it goes either way.
A lot of these games have been tied.
I picked Japan. Yeah.
Why would you pick Japan over Colombia?
I just, I don't know. I've had my doubts about Colombia. That's all.
I went to Colombia.
That's why. Exactly. Anyway, okay. No, this is the country of Colombia.
I know. Hey, let's go to Alice Stockton Rose, senior crackerjack pothead, out there in the field to get.
Hey, Alice. She accepts that.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
I thought she'd be offended by that.
No, not Alice. She's an old hippie.
No. That's right. Dude, what's going on? Everybody's got an opinion out here, I'll tell you that. Carl says, why not?
I would believe it's a good thing. Because it's less work for everybody, and it's everywhere right now as it is anyway. They're building safe houses so people could go shoot heroin. I mean, that's 50 million times worse than smoking marijuana, I think.
The state may even go as far as to legalize it.
That's fine, and it should be used medically more than anything. I believe so.
So you don't think things would get any worse?
How much worse could they get?
Yeah, Alice, you know, we took phone calls earlier, and every single caller was against legalization and against pot. I guess you didn't find that out in the field. Where are you, by the way?
Haight Ashbury.
You know what? I started at the Port Authority, and then I'm kind of walking around the west.
Alice,
west
just
side here.
Follow the scent. Follow the scent.
Yeah.
If you smell a pot cloud,
right.
run to it.
Yeah, who smells that in New York City? You know, the whole thing about the summonses, though, I talked to one guy, he doesn't even think, you know, if cops have to write summonses, forget about it.
You know what? I doubt it. You're going to write up summonses. You're going to turn blind eye for half of this stuff. What are you going to do? There's a lot of paperwork writing that stuff up. I think at a certain point, they legalize it. You know what? At least you know who's out there doing it. Now you can buy it right off the counter. You know, get it from drug dealers. No more. That could cut that business down completely.
All right. So the black market will go away.
Yeah, that will cut down. At least you know the clean drugs out there.
Clean drugs and clean cash, this guy says.
Mm. It will definitely eliminate some of the crime and keep some of the people out of the jails. The studies come back and find that the impacts are minimal. Then it may not be a bad idea. I mean, but what's the net effect? Is the net effect going to be impactful? It'll sure help the state revenues. That's for sure.
It's about money.
Absolutely.
There you go. And, you know, as far as your callers, they're going to love this guy.
I think they're going to legalize it because they want the money. Because I have no faith in the mayor or the governor. They're both city sucks.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah.
What's your problem with pot?
I spent all last summer in Denver, and heroin addicts on the benches tweaking are everywhere. I wonder where that comes from. It's like New York in the 70s in Denver.
Absolutely.
It'll just get worse
it'll
here.
Just keep going. When was the last time you saw someone with needles sticking out of their arms? Go to Denver. Spend the summer.
So pot's just going to lead to harder drug use? And
probably.
I've been saying this, Alice, since we've been discussing this. I went to Denver, too. I agree entirely with that guy. It looks like one big crack den.
Yeah, but you know what? They're saying that it hasn't increased crime. I don't know if they're fudging the numbers. And with the availability of pot right now, there's nowhere in the city that you can't go and not smell pot. Like the first guy said, could it get any worse? I mean, you can practically smoke it without worrying about it now as it is. So I don't know. And he was talking about they're building places for heroin addicts to go and exchange their needles in an effort to keep them off the streets. And I did have one guy that I didn't get to play for you who did say, you know, I don't want to see people smoking pot on the streets any more than he wants to see people drunk on the street. So there's got to be some kind of enforcement somewhere on this thing.
But on the whole, you found mainly people who are fine with it.
Well, they're, you know, like they said, it's everywhere anyway. So what's the difference? Whether it's legal or not legal, nobody's kicking these people off the street now. So if they make it legal and say, okay, I'm going to write you a summons, what's the difference?
You know, Alice, we had a call earlier from a listener who said that he thought it was a gateway drug, and it was for him. He claimed he went from pot to heroin to armed robbery to prison for 6 years, and he drew the straight line starting with marijuana.
Did he start with alcohol and cigarettes? Because if you really want to, you know, draw that line, start with cigarettes, start with alcohol, start with a troubled individual to begin with. You know, they're all gateway drugs. You're going to tell me alcohol isn't a gateway drug? Cigarettes, they're all gateway drugs.
Well, I don't know if alcohol leads to heroin use. Do you think so?
Alcohol leads to pot. Alcohol, it can.
Good.
Well,
I guess.
Why is there a connection from pot to heroin? Not everybody who smokes pot smokes heroin. So I don't know. Let's do some more studies. Maybe that's what we need.
Alice, great stuff as always. You make some good points. All right, Alice. Thanks,
light
pal.
Up. Light up. Take a break.
Bye.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, if you light him if you got him. That was the line in the Army.
I had to laugh.
Light him up if you got him.
I have to laugh, though, when Alice says, where are you going to the city without smelling pot? It's true. I can sometimes smell it on the floor of my apartment building.
Oh, you can. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You smell it. But, you know, de Blasio's point in all this, and it has to be underscored and why just summons is not arrest, is he says overwhelmingly, I think he put the number at 86%, that those arrested for marijuana use are black and Latino. So he thinks that this will, you know, cut that kind of what he thinks is discrimination out.
It's going to take time for sure, but we must reduce it and ultimately get to the day where there is no disparity in how we address different parts of our city.
So that's what he means by disparity, so that everyone gets treated equal and the black and Latino communities don't get hit harder by it.
I think they are equal, but a lot of the upper class white people who smoke pot, they do it in their home. They do it outside, so the police are not going to catch them there.
You know what I wonder? What do you think? I have no idea. If you took a statewide poll, statewide, not just New York, statewide, do you think they'd be in favor of marijuana being legalized or not? Statewide.
I think downstate people would be, but I think upstate where you get more conservative, people have reservations, hesitations about making marijuana legal.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Because now the state health commissioner has passed a report along to Governor Cuomo and said, you know, I've decided let's make it legal. This Howard is the Zucker. Guy. Yeah, here he is.
We have neighboring states now that have legalized marijuana. When those facts change, we need to look at things differently. So that is the decision at this point, to have a regulated legal marijuana program.
And Cuomo forever said he wasn't in favor of it because it was a gateway. But now he's changed his mind.
Now he's waffling.
And you think why?
Because Cynthia Nixon, who's running to his left, he's going to beat her, but she's pushing him a little bit to the progressive left-wing side of the Democratic Party, where they're all pot smokers, I suspect, Len.
So, okay.
Hey, don't go away. Ouch! A woman shot her ex right between, well, not the eyes.
Not the eyes.
Yeah. Not the eyes, but boy, did it hurt.
Oh, boy.
That's coming up next, and Mark Simone will be here after the 10 o'clock news. But now let's check in on traffic with...
Hey, before we do that, I just wanted to welcome a new sponsor to the program, because you want to know an easy way to save some money? You lower the interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream rewards customers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. Get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with autopay. Loans from $5,000 to $100,000. You can choose your funding date as soon as today, and they make it so you can get it the next day. As you know, credit card interest rates are sky high. Well, here is the easy way to get a great, really low rate, maybe a quarter of the rate. My listeners get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/LEN. LightStream, LightStream.com/LEN. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
Sounds good to me. Now let's go to Bernie Biter with the traffic.
U-O-R.
Well, we're about 5 minutes away from the market opening up. You want to see some red ink. It's not going to be a pretty day on the street.
And it's got all the stuff going on with the tariffs out there. Tariff war.
Dow futures at the moment are down 345 big ones. The NASDAQ futures down 91. S&P down 28. All in pre-market. Now, these things have a way of turning around. Just because they start that way doesn't mean they'll finish that way. But it doesn't look good with the tariffs. And Michael will explain it all to us once we get off the air, because we'll glaze over if we try to figure it out now.
Well, as interest rates and tariff things and aluminum steel tariffs and...
Well, I'll give you a choice. Would you like to discuss tariffs here or this headline I saw in the Post? Woman shot husband in testicles for trying to take her air conditioning unit. So which story would you rather I do? Well, lovely Kimberly Dunn. You don't want to screw with her. Well, no. you can't apparently now if you're her ex.
No way.
Yeah. From Lake City, Florida. I guess her estranged husband, this is back in October, he found out that she was trying to sell the air conditioning unit online, so he shows up, gets in a fight with her, and she claims by accident that she shot
accident.
Him in the, by accident shot him in the crowd jewels. Now,
boom.
Now she's in trouble now.
you don't say.
Well, they charged her with aggravated battery. Now, come on. You shoot someone in Cahotas, that's it? That's aggravated battery? Oh, but now she's in trouble because she didn't show up in court. Now she's charged with contempt of court. Aha! They'll throw the book at her.
Attempted spermicide.
Unbelievable. Anyway, welcome to Florida.
Yeah. I wonder what they do in surgery to save the guys.
I hope they would suture it up.
You think so?
That's what I would hope. Now, so you since we're talking about that area,
we're on the subject of
male. So you want to talk about a similar?
I found this story. Now, I found this story in the Guardian of England.
What's the Guardian?
It's a very highbrow left wing, very highbrow left wing newspaper.
Highbrow.
You would love it. You would love it.
Really, highbrow and left wing.
Yes, left wing.
What would you compare it to over here?
The New York Times. It's like the New York Times of England.
Okay.
The Guardian.
Okay.
Even though I don't agree with its politics, though, it has a lot of good reporting, interesting stories, and they have a story that investigates the multiple orgasm. Now,
excuse me?
Well, you know,
how do you investigate that?
Well, is it true?
You're talking about male or female?
Female.
Female.
Now,
okay.
Can women have more than one orgasm during the course of a sexual act? Do they have multiple
orgasms?
Why don't
you ask a woman who
Too delegate to ask Natalie, but if she wants
not
to chime
ask me.
No,
she
wants to.
Don't even think.
Can we get Alice Stockton Rossini on the phone?
I'm not putting her
I'm sure Alice would discuss.
Apparently, there is very little evidence that women have multiple orgasms. And in fact, a recent national study in the United States found that 95% of heterosexual men and 89% of gay men say they always climax during sex, often more than once. But in heterosexual...
You know what? I'm just going to stop this right now.
Heterosexual women, the rate is only 65%.
What is going on here?
I would bet you...
But in lesbians, it's 86%.
What?
Yes, this is what it says. This is what The Guardian says.
Are you talking about multiple?
Yes. You know what? Who cares? Because I bet you the study was done all by men.
I don't know what this is. That is the stupidest story I've ever heard. Where'd you come up with this?
I found it in The Guardian. It's called The Search for the Multiple Orgasm.
The Holy Grail.
On-screen depictions.
I'm surprised Indiana Jones didn't have. Indiana Jones and The Search for the Multiple Orgasm.
This is here's what we know so far about the clitoris and the G-spot.
Something should just stay a mystery.
You know, let's move this a little bit up. Let's move this to like a highbrow portion of the show.
Yes.
You have a story about
firefighter porn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Two firefighters in the Akron Fire Department in Ohio, they have been suspended after they were accused of shooting pornography inside the fire station.
With each other?
Yes. Lieutenant Arthur Dean, 49.
And you say this is a handsome couple.
And Provisional Lieutenant Deanne Eller, 42. So it's not gay firefighter porn.
Okay.
It's heterosexual firefighter porn.
But they are a couple, right? I believe they're a couple. They're married.
The problem, though, is when you think firefighter porn, you're thinking some attractive hoses. These two. Oh, my God.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
These two look more like fire hydrants.
No.
This is not a couple that you want to pay to see on Pornhub. Trust me. With or without their helmets. I can't
wait to start the news so I can come over and look at those pictures. Are those the porn pictures or the mug shots?
No, they're the mug shots of the two.
So they arrested them?
Well, no, they're not mug shots. They're just pictures of the two of them. But they've been suspended.
Okay.
They have been
suspended.
Well, they
didn't violate a law, I don't think, did they?
I think you can't shoot porn at your office place. I mean, do you want to see talk radio host porn? No.
Well, it depends on the host. I mean, if you could get me a little some dicey Rush Limbaugh, I might be... It all depends.
That's a little Sean Hannity.
No. All right, enough. This segment's been wonderful. We're sending it right to the award-winning committee. We're going to win an Edward R. Murrow for this segment. All right, reach 9:30. We're ready for the bloodbath on Wall Street. Here with the latest news.
WOR.
Good morning, everybody. 9:41 on this Tuesday morning, and the immigration debate is really heating up. Now, all of our living first ladies, Len, have lined up against the Trump policy of taking the kids away from their parents and holding them in separate detention cells. Now, Rosalynn Carter's against it. Melania, she's kind of against it, too.
Yeah, kind of.
Hillary Clinton, naturally, she came out the other day. And Mrs. Bush, Laura Bush, she was the first one to come out with Melania. And now Rosalynn Carter, apparently. Yeah. I thought Rosalynn Carter was dead. Who knew? But she's against it, too.
You don't play nice. And I knew that you wanted to hear Hillary's comments. Mm.
This is not happening because of the, quote, Democrats' law, as the White House has claimed. Separating families is not mandated by law at all. That is an outright lie.
Oh, she's not shrieking this time. That's refreshing.
She's accusing the president of uttering an outright lie.
He can handle it. He cleaned her.
And then, you know, Sessions was quoting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And well,
I
what is being done using the name of religion is contrary to everything I was ever taught. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children unto me." He did not say, "Let the children suffer."
Oh, God. Now we got a war of Bible quotes. Oh, how tiresome. How tiresome.
That's not a bad thought. Not everything she says is atrocious.
Pretty much.
This is a moral and humanitarian crisis. Every one of us who's ever been a parent or a grandparent, an aunt, a big sister, any one of us who's ever held a child in our arms Every human being with a sense of compassion and decency should be outraged.
Well, that rules me out.
Well, I've got a couple of interesting emails. Yeah. Let me know what you think. Philip emailed me. You can email Michael and me directly and privately at our website, 710WOR.com/LynnandMichael. So Philip emailed, your job has never been in jeopardy from illegal immigration, and you never lost the job to an illegal immigrant. Me, on the other hand, work in an industry that is still being filled with illegal immigrants, and I have lost jobs to illegal immigrants, so build the wall.
Ah, well, you see, he's undercut by the illegal immigrants who will work for peanuts. Does he say what his profession
is? No, he does not. Now, Judith emailed me, on the other hand, and said, Len, you are absolutely right about what is going on with separating children from parents. I stopped listening today and went to NPR because I could not bear to hear Michael and Joe talking about these poor, desperate immigrants using their children as pawns. Only Trump is using the children as pawns. My mother escaped Nazi Germany in 1939. I never thought this country would start turning into Nazi Germany. So obviously you have some very, very strong feelings on both sides of this issue.
That's a bit extreme, though, to compare this policy to the policy of exterminating people in Germany.
You have to be very careful when you invoke Nazi into any conversation. But this is the audio that's gripped a lot of people, except for you, that continue to dismiss it. Calling for mommy
and
poppy.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying
the source. Oh, it's put out by a left-wing group.
The source is ProPublica, a left-wing group.
What's the difference where it comes from? It's true.
I don't think you should take the kids away from the parents, all right? But the parents are the ones who brought them here illegally. The parents have to suffer some of the consequences. Put the kids in the detention camps with the parents and then send them all back. But the parents are bringing the kids over here, Len, so that they can use them to try to gain asylum. You know that that's what they're doing.
Well,
that's the game that they're playing.
No. Some are. In fact, Kirsten Nielsen, the Homeland Security chief, said as much, that there was a large percentage that parents did just drop off the kids. But we're talking about the 2,000 here who have been separated from parents. And really, even though they claim not, some have been asking for asylum.
Well, the parents also think if they come up with the kids, we're going to be a little more sympathetic or lenient towards them because they brought their kids with them.
The United States will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Won't be.
Now, do you want to hear what the American Academy of Pediatrics president has to say? What do you think she has to say?
Oh, I bet she's the one who thinks it's child abuse.
Well, this is Colleen Kraft, Dr. Colleen Kraft, and she was on CNN. Does that give you a hint?
I can't describe to you the room I was in with these toddlers, where normally toddlers are rambunctious and running around, and we had this one child just screaming and crying, and the others were really silent. This does amount to child abuse. These children have been traumatized on their trip up to the border, and the first thing that happens is we take away the one constant in their life that helps them buffer all of these horrible experiences. That's child abuse.
It is child abuse.
They're having a horrible experience because the parents brought them here in the first place. That's child abuse.
I don't care who's at fault. I don't care if it's the Democrats, the Republicans. I don't care if it's the parents using the kids. You cannot use the kids now as a pawn to build the wall. You've got to. And he can just wave his wand, and the president today can say, stop separating parents and kids. I think that's what should happen, and then we figure it out.
All right. Don't go away, because when we get back now, you've heard of an ice cream float. How about an ice cream beer? There's a new flavor of ice cream.
Really?
Yeah, I think it sounds kind of good.
All right.
We'll try it when we get back, so don't go away. Also, we're going to tell you why Mount Everest has become a pigsty.
That's an amazing story. Our High Art Music Festival's back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. You got your Justin Timberlake and your Fleetwood Mac and Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Imagine Dragons, Shawn Mendes, and on and on and on it goes. Never ends. Now is your last chance to buy tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets.
Now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
Well, 9:54, it means we're 6 minutes away from Mark Simone. Now, you were talking about the ice cream beer. Is this the one that's the Fudgy the Whale beer, or is this something else?
No. New Yorkers.
I was telling you, a guy I know, I think it's somewhere in Westchester, there's a little brewery, and they put out a very limited edition of Fudgy the Whale beer based on the Fudgy the Whale cake from Carvel.
Right.
And it was a huge sensation. They sold out immediately. Then they announced they'd give out some more Friday afternoon and then Saturday at noon. People were lined up like at 10 in the morning to get like 2 4-packs of this beer by 4 in the afternoon. It tastes like, I guess. You know,
but
like
it's beer. It's beer.
Yeah, Fudgy the Whale beer.
It's just called Fudgy the Whale beer.
No, but it has the taste of the Fudgy the Whale in there.
Really? I wonder, did they
put, like a chocolate beer?
Did they put chunks of Fudgy the Whale
in the
hops?
Well, what's your story?
No, well, New Yorkers will soon be able to enjoy truly ice-cold brews if Governor Cuomo signs a bill passed by the Assembly today. Beer and hard cider ice cream, Len, will be legal under the legislation, and it's meant to give a boost to the growing number of craft brewers and farms here in New York. Now, this is not beer with ice cream floating in it.
Right.
It is going to be beer-flavored ice cream.
Oh, it's beer-flavored. So it's beer, ice cream with a kick.
Yes, it's beer-flavored ice cream, and it does have has some alcohol in it. So it's not like a chocolate float. You don't have a cream stout that you put a scoop of vanilla ice cream in. It's going to be beer-flavored ice cream. Now, I don't know, Natalie, beer-flavored ice cream, it could be good to me. I like that chocolate-tasting beer, that dark chocolate stout. That could be good as ice cream, don't you think?
I mean, I've seen beers in so many crazy flavors.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if flavors is the right term, but, you know, from grapefruits to, you know, chocolate. So why not?
You know, actually, my favorite beer is from Montauk Brewery, and they have watermelon summer ale.
I've had that.
It's really good.
It is good.
It's really good. It's not high in alcohol, but it is so light and so refreshing. And you can taste the watermelon.
Yep.
It's delicious. I'm going to give this beer ice cream a shot.
Ice cream tastes like beer.
Yes.
Oh, is it just straight beer? Is that?
No, it's going to have it. Well, Natalie, were you not paying attention? Natalie and I were just talking about all the different kind of flavors that beer has.
No. But you're talking about the ice cream.
Is it going to taste like Coors? I don't know if I want a ice cream flavored Coors.
So what's this ice cream taste like?
It's going to taste like craft beers. The craft beers taste like cardamom.
Craft beer?
Craft beers.
Craft.
Oh. Craft. Okay. Oh, my God. Len, what do you drink? Budweiser?
I don't drink beer.
You drink $10 Malbec with ice.
When I did drink beer, I would drink Heineken. Is that good or bad? I don't know.
I don't know if I want.
Right.
It's kind of boring. Oh, by the way, they already have wine-flavored ice cream.
Well, now you're talking.
Yeah.
That's like having ice cubes in your red wine. There you go.
Ice cubes in your red wine with some milk. Yum.
Wine-flavored ices are a very popular thing right now.
Can you get trashed on them, though?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think you'd have...
Do they have the wine ice cream?
Well,
they
have wine-flavored ice cream. I've seen ices.
Okay.
They have wine...
Yeah. Ices, which are really good. They have like a rosé and...
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you see this feel-good story of the day that, you know, people double dip? You know, at a line, a buffet, or getting chips and dip. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you double dip, well, you may be putting norovirus, streptococcus, and herpes into the dip. So you have the dip, and it says that the tiniest amount of saliva when someone double dips, the bacteria can transfer and multiply. So you could double dip and give someone herpes.
I could get a canker sore from that French onion dip that I liked as a kid.
You know what's funny?
I've thought of that before.
You always see the double dipping, and you get worried like, that's gross, just germs.
Disgusting.
But when you think about the kind of germs you could get...
Right, right. Well, what's really gross is if you're at a picnic and they have all that dip out there, it's getting hot.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
And it's coagulating, and people are double dipping into it. That is a
double
recipe.
Double dip and get herpes. Sugar. That's great.
Hey,
so what's going on in Mount Everest?
Mount Everest, you would think this place would be pristine and pure. It's 29,000 feet in the air, but apparently it has become a gigantic garbage dump.
You're kidding.
People, the tourists who are climbing it, they're leaving behind their tents. Their climbing equipment, empty gas canisters, and here's one for you, feces, all up there on the mountaintop.
Where are you supposed to go? They have porta potties out there on Mount Everest?
Len, I'm a hiker, right?
Yeah.
This is the protocol of hiking. When you go into a national park, what you take in with you goes out with you. You keep your garbage. Exactly. You keep your garbage.
I never thought of this. So when they come up Mount Everest,
they leave everything behind, a scooper
for themselves.
Well, it's a big thing. With Girl Scouts, we used to do the same thing when we were camping. You never leave behind anything.
The problem is
everything comes back.
Here's the problem, though. If you're Edmund Hillary and you go up there, you leave behind Edmund Hillary because he didn't make it down. There are a lot of bodies up there, too.
He didn't make it down.
No, Edmund Hillary died up there. They found his body a few years ago.
He
didn't get, he didn't get back down.
I never heard that part of
but
the story.
But I have seen, you can.
Not the first one to get down, I
By
guess.
The way, you can go on,
I guess not.
You can go on the websites and you can see pictures of the bodies that are still up there. Anyway, and a lot of bodies are unclaimed.
Go to our website because the viral video of the day is this little 2-year-old in Attleboro, Massachusetts. There's supposed to be a gate that stops kids or a ladder that stops them from climbing into an above ground pool. This kid scales the ladder, and it's gotten millions and millions of views. Go check it out.
Like Spider-Man.
It's scary. Unbelievable. Yeah, he's supposed to be childproof. It wasn't. Hey, if you did miss anything today, go check out the video and check out 710WOR.com/Lenna Michael. Coming up next is the one and only Mark Simone. Right now, it's time for the 10 o'clock.